Monsieur Savant de Phare et Conwit Bambouha, an appreciation for your goodness to us as individuals, as families, and as an assembly. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your numerous cares to us as mortal beings. We thank you for your thoughtfulness, Heavenly Father, making yourself available to us in times of need, proving to be all sufficient. We thank you, Lord, for helping us this past week. Lord, your grace, your mercy that took us through has added to our testimonies that you are faithful. We thank you. Thank you for the blessings of the week. Thank you for your provision, protection, favor, blessing, your healing. Thank you for spiritual blessings. We are grateful to you. Lord, the week is gone. All activities have gone into records. Lord, if there be anything we have done that are not pleasing to you, we ask your mercy, we speak for us, and you will forgive us, Father, Lord. We have come to you today to renew our strength, Lord, to know you better. Each day that you give us opportunity to come to your house is to know you better, that we might serve your purpose better. Thank you. We commit ourselves to you as individual that you will make yourself known to us again today. Lord, in the way that you have designed it. Lord, and when you are doing that, give us discernment. Give us understanding. Give us grace to know, to discern our needs, and to discern when you are addressing our needs. And give us humble hearts, Lord, that we might look unto you for mercy in such times, for that is the time that you will be ready to do something for us. Don't let the enemy cheat us this day. Lord, be gracious. Lord, give us grace, Lord, to find favor on your side. Have your way, Lord. The entire service of the day will come into you, that you will have your way. Fill with the Holy Spirit, Lord, for it is possible in the services. Lord, heal the sick people. Set strength to the weak. Restore backsliders. Cause sinners. Oh, Father, to yourself, and let these things be taken to higher ground. All desires of our heart, financial, material needs, Father, gracious Lord, may you give us keys to know how to address those things. Thank you. At the end of the entire services, the blessing will be ours, and glory and honor will be yours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. This 2 Epistle, beloved, and I write unto you in a boat which has stirred up your pure hearts, pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the Lord, by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the word that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heaven and the earth, which are now, that the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall meet with fervent heat, the earth also, and the words that the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and listening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are not learned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yet therefore, beloved, since ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You can please be seated. Revelation 21. I will read from verse 9 to the end, to shorten our time. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talk with me, saying, come hither, and we show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the buildings of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th are jacinth, and the 12th are amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs. Every several gate was of one pair. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent gold, glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it any thing that defileth, neither whosoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. We commence the conclusion of the topic, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. So we trust God helping us. We should be able to bring the whole thing to conclusion today. We are trying to look at last Sunday, remember? We trying to remind us the very purpose why this sermon was preached is to call our attention to the fact that there are people who God has ordained to live in eternity and a special place for them. The prophet in that message tells us these two things. There are special people. God's ordained and predestinated that God will prepare for that place that is also prepared. And that place is coming down to reside upon this earth. And the prophet likened the preparation he made for us, the way he prepares us, so the way he also prepares this new heart, this present heart that we will live in, that is in the constitution that it is now, we and God cannot live in it in the condition we will be in during that time, because we will no longer be mortals. We will no longer be mortals. We will no longer need civilization. We will not need aeroplane. We will not need train. No matter how fast the train is, too. We will not need them. We will not need the fastest vehicle. We will not need human roads. We will not need this human civilization. It's going to be God's own civilization. And so, for that to be, God is preparing this present heart for him and is choosing people to come and dwell here. And the prophet emphasized this to the bride. There are three stages that God has laid down that is taking every member of that bride to go through before they will be qualified to be dwellers in that eternity. And the prophet said, we are going to live right here on the earth, not in heaven. So the prophet told us that as God has prepared you to make you ready, to make you, to redeem you, in the same process, this very heart that we are coming to live in is also going through. Praise be to God. The prophet talked about justification. But before that, just going to talk about repentance. And that's where we, you know, I believe we concluded our thought last Sunday school. It is very, very important. You cannot start climbing a tree from the leaf. You have to start from the trunk. And then you lay hold on a branch if the branch is very close. So with that, you can climb the tree to whatever part of it that is that can accommodate you. Because there are some parts of the tree that if you make attempt, you find yourself on the ground, crashed. Because the hands
might be too tiny for to carry your weight if you go there. So what am I trying to say is that there are stages, processes that the prophet emphasized in this sermon that we are trying to remind ourselves as we conclude it. The prophet said it is a prepared place, the first cross city, this half, for a prepared people. So, prepared people, we are prepared by repentance, and then justification, and then sanctification, and then Holy Ghost baptism. And the prophet told us that the process of repentance, of water baptism, of course, repentance comes first before water baptism, because if you don't truly repent, you go to water, is of no use. You have only gone as a dry sinner to come out as a wet sinner. It has no impact, no benefit, nothing. You only become religious as you become a brother in the church. That's what you are only qualified to be called a brother after you have done water baptism. And that is why there has not been spiritual progress. Because if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? If we don't start right, we cannot end right. If our beginning is crumbling, if our foundation is faulty, then nothing will be built. A good builder, a good engineer will not build on a faulty foundation. So if our foundation is wrong, God is not going to build other things on it. He's not going to do that. So that is why we are trying to look at it, because we are talking about rapture. Who goes in the rapture? Is a brother, is a sister, is a young brother, is a young sister, is an old brother, whole sister, who have gone through these processes, they have truly repented, they have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in immersion. God has worked upon them, applying the blood to sanctify them, and then filling them with the Holy Spirit. We will emphasize the sanctification part and the Holy Ghost baptism part this morning. As we have spoken of justification, praise be to God. The prophet told us that at sanctification, what God does is that the individual who has repented and has gone for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his or her sin, if the sins are truly remitted, that is when, now we said it before, that what qualifies somebody to receive remission of sins is after you have repented, recognizing that you have broken God's word, and then surrender yourself to the other part of the world, and then you go and do water baptism. If genuinely that is done, that's when the sins are remitted. When the sins are remitted, that is when then that person is qualified to ask for forgiveness when he sins or she sins again. But if in the first instance, the repentance is not genuine, the water baptism is not genuine, there is no opportunity for forgiveness. Because on the basis of taking the first step, that's when you now come into a stage where God can apply the blood to forgive you, and then you move forward to sanctification. If the foundation is faulty, nothing will happen until this foundation is destroyed and it rebuilt before God can begin to work upon that. That is why there have been stagnations. An individual, you have to watch your life. You have to watch your life, because there are specific things that the prophet speaks about a man that is justified. The prophet said that the person does not have power over sin. The nature is still sinful. He still has the snake that makes him to keep malice, that makes him to keep grudges, that makes him to boycott people, that makes him to say all sorts of evil things about somebody, make him to gossip, backbite, backlash, say all sorts of evil things about, run them that destroy them with his mouth. But when that man is sanctified, the spirit that is responsible for it is taken away from him. The prophet told us that the man that is sanctified, you may only know the difference between him and the person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophet said the difference in the life of that man is that he will not have victory continuously. He won't have continuous victory. Because the Adamic nature is still there. Even at sanctification, the Adamic nature is still there. Only that the man, the blood has been applied to that person. That snake that makes him to do all those things has been taken away. The blood has applied. Now the person is now set aside for service, but not yet in service. That's sanctification. The majority of people get to that level and they claim Holy Ghost baptism. The prophet says sanctification stage is the most dangerous of all the three stages. So you have to watch what the prophet says about that, and the prophet likened it to the journey of the wilderness, the wilderness journey of the children of Israel. So many things happen along the line. That was where God destroyed many of them because of the expression of unbelief. That's the period of trial. To let them know, God said, I put you through hard situations to see what is in you. So during that period, God put us under so many things. So it's a dangerous stage that individual must watch. You must know what God says about sanctification, and you must look at your life in relation to that. You must know what God says about the Holy Ghost baptism when a man is filled with the Holy Spirit. What the word says about it. And we have been talking about those things. But the prophet in the sermon discerning the body of Christ says that our eternal destination is not altogether based upon what we hear or what we see. It's based on discernment that we have of what we hear and what we see. We can sit down and hear sermons, all the sermons at once. It can be wonderfully preached, heaven can fall. If you don't have discernment of what is discernment? It's to be able to place your life down and place the word down side by side. And sort and do something. This area, the word says this. This is my life here. The word says this. This is my life here. It is not to gloss over it and say, well, this one does not matter. It does. It does matter. Because we are talking about matter of eternal life. And we have only one chance. Every one of us have aspiration. I was thinking about certain things. I said, people of the earth, they do not know that this has expired time. It's going to expire very soon. In its present condition. Very soon this earth will expire. And every sinner will expire with it. They're jumping up and down. They don't know that this earth has expiration period that God has set. And it's close to that expiration period. So human being in the mortal realm is limited to time. So the problem is we can only be mortal once. It is appointed to man to die once and after that the judgment. Of course, that's not to the Christian. We are saying that most things that we see that that look as if is majorly for the people that are not yet ready. The Bible says, if examine yourself whether you be in the faith, lest ye be deceived. You have to have discernment. It's not your husband that will tell you. It's not your wife that will tell you. It is the word that will tell you. And when the word tells you, it also depends on the discernment that you have of that which you have had. So the prophet gave an example of two people in a sermon that he preached. One was after the service, Brother Abraham preaching, a woman went to another and said that man called me a vulture or something like that. Or can't remember the particular thing. You will remember what I'm saying. He said, call me a vulture or a woe or vulture, yes. The man jumped over and said, he called me an eagle. What makes the difference? The one that says
He called me, that the preacher called me a vulture. Did the prophet say, come to that woman particularly and say, you are to that other brother and say, you are an evil brother? It was from the preaching. And the brother looked at his life and said that the life of an evil that the brother Abraham described, that is the way my life is. Then the other one that is a vulture that said that the preacher called me a vulture, she looked at her life and saw the characteristics of vulture in her life. She had discernment. She could be helped if she understood what she should do. The best thing would have been to go to his pastor and talk to the preacher and say, sir, please, in all your sermon that you preach, I saw myself as a vulture. What is the way out? I saw myself as a vulture. You can't gloss over that. That is why God will bring everybody to judgment. Now,
you know, when you are privileged to have an information and you walk over that information, the people that know that you are privileged over the, of that information, they deal with you very seriously. It's somebody that is ignorant that you may not.
Look, if anybody with me this message, you will not make right talk. I don't know the type of suffering they will suffer. How God will look at them?
Well, it means they are serpent seed. Is that what it means? It means they are serpent seed.
Do you understand what I've just said? It's a person will not go in the rapture. Yeah, if they are serpent seed,
they are not foolish virgins. They are not part of the righteous ones.
Oh, merciful God.
They are not part of the righteous ones that will be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. They are not part of the foolish virgins that will receive eternal life at the white throne judgment, but they will be killed here during the great tribulation. They are not part of the fifth seed Jews that are under the altar, that will receive eternal life also at the white throne judgment. Neither are they part of the 144,000 Jews that will receive eternal life when Moses and Elijah will go and be preaching to them after rapture has taken place. That for Tyria, they are not part of that. They are cannon folders. They are part of the rest of. In fact, they are worse because they know the truth. They are face to face with lie. Like Judas Iscariot. We have to wake up. You have to look at your life. If your husband has a character that is rubbing on you negatively, talk to him. If your wife has a character rubbing on you negatively, talk to her. If parents have character rubbing on the children come and tell the pastor. My parents are doing like this and it's not helping us. You can get back home, your father or mother can beat you. It doesn't make a difference. You can't challenge them. They will beat you. They will, but you have silenced the dog that is warning you. Though children can correct their parents with utmost respect. Do you think that is correct? Like when my mother, though I wasn't wrong, what I was doing, but it was just a little boy. When my mother was still alive, you know, there was, my mother was saying certain things. I was trying to correct her, and my voice was hard. So then Paul, very little, then he came and said, are you talking to your mommy like that? I said, well, I'm not fighting her. This, then I explained to him. I'm a preacher over her. So I should be able to tell her what was right. So that was the position I was in. So I made the point to realize, no. I wasn't.
So the children can talk to you like that. I wasn't offended when the boy told me, I said, daddy, are you talking to your mommy like that?
Because you know that you shouldn't talk hard to your mommy. You know, but I was trying to get something clenched in. You got it? My mom was not educated, so I have to use some ways to get her to understand. She's passed on. So I believe we're able to say those things. So what are we talking about is that
the Holy Ghost baptism is real. God made a promise to fill his people
with the Holy Ghost. And he's faithful to that promise.
So why you are not receiving the Holy Spirit is what should be a question on your mind. It should be a question in your mind. And it's not a question you have to keep very long with you. You have to find solution to it very, very quickly. It's an urgent matter. It's very, very urgent. If you really understand what it means
not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you understand what it means not to go in the rapture.
A man that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a man that is justified. Like we are saying on Wednesday, God has nothing against that man, nothing against that woman. From the beginning of his life to the end of his life, nothing, because the blood of Jesus is there atoning for him. His record is clean. God did it, not man.
The man might still, you know, he might not be the way you want him to look like. Okay? He must not be as smart as you expect him to be smart. You know, he might not be as quick as you want him to be.
But when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to standing by the wall and projecting the life of the same in totality,
you can't point an accusing finger to him. Except an accuser of brethren who does not see good things in others. May the Lord be gracious to us. I just feel that the time is not sufficient for me to be reading. Let me just read this last one.
Remember, sanctification stage is the stage that a man is cleansed and set aside for service. The snake that makes the person to keep doing that is taken away. But the nature of that person is still Adamic. The person is not filled, don't go yet. He's not converted yet. He's still a sinner. God still has something against him.
Only that God has put him aside and set him aside and said, okay, this vessel will be used. If it's a vessel to be used. Because the prophet said you can be justified and not be sanctified. And you can be sanctified and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. He used 1 John chapter 5, verse, from verse 15 there about, to explain those things to us. But that is not pertaining to the bride. He calls, he justifies, he feasts with the Spirit. His own, he does it.
So we have to watch that.
All right, let me just read this place. That has to do with the summary of the Holy Spirit.
Wish we had some time to lay on that a few minutes. Look here, for he, the worshipper, once purged. Hebrews, the worshipper once purged, has no more conscience of sin, that is desire to sin. Sin has passed from him.
He can't plan what is wrong.
His mouth does not run anyhow, because God now has to ask control of his heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happened? The mouth will speak. When evil things come out from a man's mouth to another person or to whatever, then the heart, there's a problem with that heart. The Bible says, make the heart good, and make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. Make the tree bad, and the fruit will be bad. And that's where Jesus came down to say that, because for if the heart is bad, good thing can come there, come out from here. So from the abundance of that, the mouth will speak. And you must also have discernment of what comes out of your mouth. If you don't have discernment, you may just be deceived, presuming and assuming. If you have a wife, you have a husband, and your wife, you know your husband is prone to those things, pray for him and talk to him. If you, husband, you notice that your wife is like that, talk to her and speak to and pray for her. Children, parents, do to the children. Because that thing is a spirit from childhood. It's the nature. It shows that nature has not been changed. The taming of our tongue, how it is used, is supposed to be used for blessing, not cursing, not run down others, not destroying them. You can't create anything. You can't change a man's life. It's only God that can change a man's life. He's the only one that is Savior. If God helps you, God can help another person.
Wish we had time, some time to lay on. I know the Bible is strong. This just is the last quote I'm going to read. God bless you. A few minutes. Look here. The worshiper once purged had no more this conscience of sin. Sin has passed from him. Sorry. I was reading from Satan's Eden. So paragraph 123. I had Brother Neville say this morning, someone might have been asking him, why didn't I preach on the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I do this? Here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you. It is alive, not an emotion, not some sort of a fleshly evidence, but it is a person. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, established in your heart to quicken every word of this age. Right? Watch the Holy Ghost in action. Not so much in the demonstrations, but in action. What it does according to the word. God bless you. So on this note, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the other bridegroom is concluded. Let's bow down. May the blessing of you be our portion. God bless you.
I bless the Heavenly Father. We are grateful unto you for this morning again, the beginning of another week. We thank you for the past week. We thank you for your protection and cares upon us. We are grateful unto you for daily provisions of our needs. How you order each step we took from on high. How you did not allow your enemy, the enemy of mankind, to have his way. We were stand only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we are happy that you came so that we might have life, so that we might have it more abundantly. Thank you for bringing us from our homes to sit at your feet again this morning to hear your words, the word of the kingdom. Thank you for this period that we spent on the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Thank you for the message in its entirety. We are praying and asking, O God, we have had it in diverse ways. We pray, Lord, that we give it to each and every one of us revelation and understanding and grace and ability to line up our lives with your words. Give us grace, O God, a discernment to design ourselves and know what our request will be unto you. Whatever our request might be, as individuals, Lord Jesus, you are the one and the one alone that have answers to all our requests. We look unto you, not passing your force by. Meet us at the point of our needs and make us ready, O God. As that place you got to prepare it, prepare us equally, oh Father. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant that you are graciously used for this long period talking on this topic. The virtue that has left in, may you replenish in you. We look unto you for the rest of the services of the day. We pray, Master Savior Divine. We are asking for one thing. We don't want to be forgiving hearers. We want to be hearers and the doers of your word, because that is what we have been taught, O God, that they will be the justified ones. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.